You're not the boss of me. Who abdicated and made you king? Who resigned and made you the president? You and what army are going to make me? Autonomy. We all want it. And if someone tries to interfere with our autonomy, we resist and we challenge their authority to make us do something. Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem with this new teaching that challenges the authorities in place rather forcefully, telling them something to do something that's right, and they aren't sure that he should be telling them what to do. And one of the things he's done to show them is turning over the tables of the money changers in the temple. He's attacking the whole temple system of fundraising. Somewhat echoed by Martin Luther when he attacked the sale of God's forgiveness to support the church structures, and later echoed by civil rights sit-ins and others throughout history, down to the protests that we have today, that question the authority of the status quo. So the religious leaders in Jerusalem want to know, by what authority can Jesus go around upsetting everything? If they or we accept Jesus' authority to say what actions are right, as we were told that's who we know, then that means accepting his worldview about inclusiveness and about love trumping rules and about freeing people from oppression. Because whatever worldview we have is going to affect what authorities we accept. And then therefore our actions. And our actions have consequences. The prophet Ezekiel said to us this morning, you are the boss of you. And you can't blame your parents or anyone else for your actions. And there are consequences. Uh-oh. But then he goes on and gives us the good news. God desires the death of no one. Those consequences are there to push us to make better choices so that we'll enjoy living in harmony with God and others. St. Paul tells his beloved church in Philippi to choose this way. Whatever is true, he says, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. And then he adds that the consequence of choosing this behavior is that the God of peace will be with you. Hey, that sounds good. But how do we know that Jesus has God's authority to set that agenda for us? Did you ever play the limbo game? Okay. Unlike in the high jump or the pole vault, you've got this pole, and instead of jumping over it and then they raise it higher and you have to jump over it and higher and you have to jump over it, in limbo, you have to go under it and then they lower it and you have to go under it lower and you have to go under it lower and you have to go under it lower and lower and lower. And the chant goes, how low can you go? St. Paul quotes this well-known hymn in his day about Jesus to his church in Philippi to remind them that Jesus' authority doesn't come because he grabbed it, climbed the ladder, seized power, and trampled over others to get higher. No, Paul says, we know his authority comes from God because he has shown you that he loves you more than he loves himself. He wasn't content to sit up in heaven and luxuriate in power and privilege that comes with being divine. Rather, he left all that behind and took on our lot in life, experiencing all that we experience and then some, so that we would know how much God loves us and all people. He humbled himself, became a lowly person, and then went on even lower to slave status, and then lower, allowing himself to be killed, and yet lower by being just a dead body. And yet lower, even his death was stigmatized. You can't get any lower in life or in history. And then God acted to affirm his authority over all things in heaven and earth and for all eternity. A person does not have authority. Rather, what a person or God does is authoritative. And what God does is raise Jesus from the dead and name him as Lord God Almighty and everlasting. Jesus tells those who are questioning his authority in the parable that ends with the question about which son acknowledged the authority of the Father. Is it the one who said no and did the ordered task, or the one that said yes but didn't do it? The answer is neither one. Neither has acknowledged the Father's authority, both in word and in deed. To do so would be to say yes and do it. And Jesus has given us an example of one who does just that. He has said yes to our salvation. When Paul tells the congregation to work out its own salvation with fear and trembling, the salvation that we're to work out is not private individual destiny, but rather the quality of our corporate life as lived together under the rule of our Savior. It's all about the healing work of being the church together. To be saved in the Greek understanding was to be healed, made whole and healthy. Salvation, in other words, is life lived in the community, a life of atonement and reconciliation that's formed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And working out our salvation is nothing more or less than living as if the promises of the gospel are true. Living, in other words, the way Christ lived. That tells us that we, as a community in Christ, having heard that we're loved in such an unexpected, almost unimaginable way, we might turn to be able to regard others the same way, not as objects to be exploited, but as persons to be treasured. And not as opponents competing for scarce resources, but as brothers and sisters deserving of our unconditional regard and support. And not as competitors on the ladder striving to be top dog and boss and have authority over others. No, not that way. So then, having heard the good news that we're loved no matter what, we're set free for this business of loving and caring, because Jesus' complete emptying of himself made us eternally right with God, healed and saved us ultimately, freeing us from having to keep an account of who is the most Christ-like. Who? Because of Jesus' action, we get the consequences of Jesus' obedience. And because we live in the grace of God now, this very moment is the hour of our salvation. Heaven, salvation, are not future realities only, but they're a gift of living in the eternal now of Christ, with Christ today, immediately. We can make every minute whole and happy in all sorts of little ways. Paul knows that in any human community, there are differences. And there will be appeals to different authorities. We ought to do this because so-and-so has said blah, blah. We ought to do this because the statisticians tell us, the numbers tell us, blah, blah, blah. You know? Appeals to different authorities and different opinions based on those. Paul's advice to this church community is be mature. If you think differently about anything, these different viewpoints will all be revealed to you by God so that you can understand each other's positions. Only, he says, let us all hold fast to what we know from the authority of Jesus to be true, what we've obtained in Christ. Remember, it's ultimately about this, he says, think with the mind of Christ. And then he gives us the recipe for having the mind of Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near to you, with you. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And for that we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.